ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ऐन्द्रमुर्जितम् ऋतम् प्रतिभाजत तैव शोभनम् मन्ये महानस्य कृतो ह्यनुग्रहो विभ्रांशितो यश्च्रिय आत्ममोहनात्. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence." Report by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said, "Yasyaham anagrinami harishyetha dhanam shanai." It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon His devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasyaham anagrinami harishyetha dhanam shanai. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence." Chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Bali Maharaj has just been arrested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vamanadev. Vamanadev came as a Brahmin dwarf to beg at the door of Bali, who had just recently conquered the entire universe and was residing in the most elegant palace of Indra, the king of heaven. While Indra, who was the yielder of the great thunderbolt, he was hiding in fear of his life, because Bali Maharaj, due to his pleasing the Brahmins, had become so powerful. Bali became the most wealthy, the most powerful, and the most famous man in all of this universe. When Vamanadev came, he begged for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj agreed, although he offered him far more than what he expected he would take. He offered him planets, wealth, beautiful women, great power and influence over others. But Vaman, he explained, "All I want is this 3 steps. If you are satisfied with whatever little is provided, that comes by its natural accord, then you'll be satisfied in any situation. But if you're not satisfied with that, no matter how much you work and endeavor for more and more and more, it will only burn the anxiety of your heart. So he took two steps and covered the entire universe in those two steps. And because Bali promised him a third and he had nowhere else to put it, he was arrested. So just see the fate or the destiny of Bali Maharaj. At one moment, he was the conqueror, the ruler, the controller, and the proprietor of the universe. And just 5 minutes later, he had absolutely nothing. Everything, literally, was taken away. Vamana said, "Where should I put my third step?" Bali understood there was nowhere else to put it because everything else was taken. At that time, as he was in this predicament, bound by hand and foot, by ropes, in an utterly poverty-stricken condition, very embarrassed, his grandfather appeared, Prahlad Maharaj. Now, obviously, Prahlad Maharaj is not an ordinary grandfather. Most parents and grandparents are very much concerned with the material situation of their dependents. Sometimes when someone comes to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, the parents, the grandparents, they become very worried. Where will you get your money? Where will you get your wealth? How will you take care of your family if you put your attention on Krishna? And people become very fearful due to family attachment. But Prahlad, he was grandfather. The grandfather cares more about the grandchildren than the father cares about the child. That is natural. The father is sometimes very strict with his son. But you'll never find grandfathers strict with their grandchildren. They're very soft. They just want to spoil them and give them everything. That is the nature of material attachment. But just see the consciousness of Prahlad. His own grandson, who he loved so dearly, had just attained the highest position, and it was all taken away, and now he had nothing. And Prahlad Maharaj was happy to come to that place and congratulate Bali. He's explaining, first he's offering his obeisances to Lord Vamanadeva. And he's saying, "You are so kind. I think you have acted with equal beauty. First you gave him the whole kingdom of heaven. You made him king of the universe. You gave him the most regal royal opulence anyone has ever had. That was your mercy. But I see it is even more your mercy that you've taken everything away and he does not even have a place to sleep at night. He'll have to go out and beg for his food now. He has nothing." Prahlad is explaining, because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very, very merciful favor by taking away all of his opulence. Prahlad Maharaj was a first-class grandfather, first-class parent, because he understood what was actually the need of his child, what was actually good for him. It was Krishna consciousness. That is the first priority in every aspect of our life, is how are we developing our Krishna consciousness. If anything diverts our attention away from that, then that is our failure of life. It is not a success. Materialistic people, what is Yani Shasarava Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasyam Jagarati Bhutani Shani Shapashyato Mune. Krishna says in Gita, what is the day for the ordinary being is night for a transcendentalist. And what is day for a transcendentalist is the time to go to sleep for a gross materialist. So in this world we find what is the caliber of success? How much you can acquire? Name, fame, prestige, wealth, property, sense enjoyment. People consider, and they are envious of people, that this is very great. But learned souls, people who are not completely immersed in the illusion of ignorance, they understand that there's only one standard of success in this world, and that is how we are coming closer to God. How we are becoming free from the entanglements of this temporary existence, and how we are becoming attached to the eternal. And therefore, when devotees see all sorts of material greatness, they are not concerned. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru. Sometimes people would sing beautiful, beautiful kirtans. And tens and thousands of people would come to hear such people sing. So wonderful, so beautiful. Bhakti Siddhanta, he didn't. This is nothing. If he does not have devotion, if he is not pure in heart, then what is the use of this beautiful voice? He would much rather hear from someone who had no melodious talents whatsoever, but who was singing from their heart with devotion, who was actually attached to Krishna. So this is the standard of someone who understands the truth or is aspiring for the truth. He only makes one standard of success in his life, or in his observation of others' lives. And that is, how is a person progressing on the path of self-realization? Everything else is a phantasmagoria. It is illusion. So we here find Prahlad setting the proper standard for all parents and grandparents. Whatever it takes for that person you love to be Krishna conscious, you should be happy with that. And Prahlad was very dissatisfied when he saw Bali as the king of heaven. Why? He was enjoying like anything. But he was bewildered by false prestige, by pride. And in such a heart, Krishna does not manifest. So Prahlad Maharaj was very, very proud that his son had totally failed materially. Why? Because he saw that his son had become a humble devotee of the Lord and surrendered everything. And with the support of Prahlad Maharaj, Bali said to the Lord, "You want to put a third step somewhere? I know there's one more place. You've taken everything I own. I have nothing else to give except my life. Put your third step on the top of my head. I surrender to you. Atma Nivedanam." And when Prahlad saw this, the ecstasy and joy of his heart. This is true love. True love is to understand what is really good for a person, and to find joy when a person is coming closer to Krishna, and to lament if a person attains any other position other than Krishna. This is the standard of Prahlad. And Prahlad was not a sannyasi. Someone may think, oh, well, this is the way sannyasis think, but this is not the way grihasthas think. Prahlad was a grihastha. He was a father. He was a grandfather. He was also a king. But he was not attached to anything but the service of the Lord. And he found no other standard of progress other than the developing of love of God. So sometimes Krishna puts his devotees in various types of situations, because Krishna knows exactly what is best for his devotee.
Krishna puts his devotee in just the proper situation to increase that devotee's attachment and love
for him.
Krishna puts his devotee in such a situation that the devotee understands how important it is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a story of one very great devotee. His name was Murari. And he was in the renounced order of life. He was a sannyasi. And he was living in Jagannath Puri Dham. And he became very well known. And he was very much loved by everyone because of his very simple life and very, very innocent devotion and love for all living beings. And also his tremendous extent of renunciation. He would sit in front of Jagannath Mandir and he would beg for alms. And whatever little he got within a few minutes, he would take that and be content and not ask for anything else. So people would see him there begging every day. And they were thinking, this Murari, he's actually very learned. He's actually very qualified and very great. But he's living such a simple life. He's just accepting whatever little Krishna provides as a beggar, such a humble position. And the rest of the day, he's simply engaged in serving humanity by glorifying God, the highest welfare work, not expecting anything in return. So one night, in a dream, Krishna appeared to him. And he said, Murari, I'm very hungry. I want mangoes. There's only one place where there's first class mangoes. And that is in the garden of the head pujari of the Jagannath temple. So these mangoes are very strictly forbidden for anyone to take. But I want you to secretly come with me and we'll steal mangoes together for my pleasure. So Murari was thinking, how can I go and steal mangoes from the Lord's own personal servant? But if you go, Krishna, I'll come with you. So Krishna appeared before him and they went. And they went into the mango trees. And Krishna climbed up the trees and he was taking the mangoes and tossing them down to Murari. And then he told Murari, now you climb up the next tree and you toss them down to me. So they were tossing, they were making noise. And the head pujari and his watchmen, they woke up and they started coming. And Krishna was on the bottom and he ran away. And Murari was still on the tree. And there was and Krishna left all the mangoes in the bottom of the tree, big mountain of mangoes. So the pujari came with watchmen, and they saw Murari, this great sannyasi. He's stealing my mangoes. What a hypocrite! He said, "You are a rascal, Murari. You are a nonsense. Throughout the day, you're making everyone believe you're such a renounced sannyasi. You're sitting there begging, willing to accept a few kernels of rice. Now I know why you're so content with so little, because every night you're going stealing opulent mangoes from everybody else. Hypocrite." So he became very angry. Very, very angry. And the watchman and the pujari began to beat Murari with sticks. And he was feeling such pain. And meanwhile, Murari was thinking, Krishna, what are you doing? Why is this happening? He was beaten with sticks. And then he was brought to the king. And when the king heard of this, he punished Murari and put him in prison for stealing the temple property. And Murari was just sitting in prison thinking, Krishna, If this is where you want me, then I'll be very happy to be a part of this special leela of yours. I cannot understand your inconceivable will, but whatever it is, it must be perfect. So that night, the head pujari had a dream, and Jagannath appeared to him. And Jagannath told him that, do you know that I personally took Murari to your mango garden, and he was picking those mangoes for me. And when you came, I ran away, but he got caught. But actually, he was doing this. He never tasted one of those mangoes. It was all his loving service on my order. And when the pujari heard this, he was thinking, oh, such a great saint. This Murari is greater than anybody I've ever realized. That Krishna is having these wonderful pastimes personally with him. And he went and told the king. And the king announced to the whole kingdom that this is what happened. And then everybody was just bringing mangoes and gifts and everything to Murari. And they were all worshipping him, and he became very much embarrassed. He was thinking, this is not good for my spiritual life, all this praise and all this prestige. And very quietly, without telling anyone, he left that place and moved to Vrindavan. Because he wanted to live a simple life. So here we find how Krishna, whatever he does, we cannot judge by how it appears to our eyes. He knows what is perfect for everyone, whatever their stage of Krishna consciousness, how to bring them closer to Krishna. How to make them attached exclusively to him. In the Bhishma, in the Mahabharata, he explains the definition of love. Love is to repose all one's affection in one object. And there is no living creature on the earth that we can repose all our affection in. It will always be divided. Only Krishna has the power to attract and to accept all the affection of a living being. Because the soul has eternal love that is simply longing and dying to be expressed and directed towards someone. But we cannot express or offer all of our eternal love to some temporary form, object, or person of this world. Only Krishna can reciprocate that love. Therefore, to love means to love God. And without love of God, there is in the true sense no love at all. What goes in the name of love in this world is simply a type of mutual exploitation, tinged with selfishness. It is affection, but it is not love. Savai pungsang varo dharmo yato akhirahokshije ahoyitaki aprati hata jajatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens unmotivated, uninterrupted love of God. Only such love can completely satisfy the self. That is the goal of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami, he explained prema pumartha mahan. That means that it is this prema, this love of God, that is the supreme goal, the perfection of life. It is the purushartha siromani. Of all the goals of life, of all the attainments, it is the crest jewel. It is the highest. It is the only level of consciousness that completely satisfies the heart. So here we find such a beautiful example of Prahlad Maharaj. How he is so happy and so proud of Bali Maharaj that he's making spiritual progress even though materially he has just become a total failure. From the material point of view, he's lost all the respect of those who are followers of him. He's lost all his property. His own guru, Shukracharya, who he accepted out of prestige, had rejected him. He was a total reject. But Prahlad was so happy that now you are Ved, now I am proud. Now you have attained attachment to Krishna. Now you have surrendered to Krishna. Because Prahlad knew that if you surrender to Krishna, everything else follows. Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryubhashate, that for one who is my devotee surrendering to me, I preserve what he has and I carry what he lacks. So what is there to fear? Someone who is in knowledge understands that if someone surrenders to Krishna, there's nothing to worry about that person. Krishna will take charge of every aspect of his life. Someone who surrenders to Krishna, we don't even have to concern ourselves with where his bodily maintenance and where everything, his food and so forth, are coming from. It will come. Krishna will arrange. There is no doubt. Of course, we have our practical responsibilities in this world, but they are all shrama eva hi kevalam. So much of a waste of time if we are not pursuing through the agency of whatever our occupation is, deepening our spiritual lives, deepening the level of our love and attachment to Krishna and his devotees. Prahlad Maharaj continues. Yaya hi vidvan api mulyate yathas atko vachaste gatimatmano jatha tasmoy namaste jagadishwaraya vai narayana khila loka shakshine. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport, the words kovachaste gatimatmanojata indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulence. Then people will come to their senses. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that Prakanchitya Budhya Hari Sambandhi Vashtana Mamukshami Parityoko Vairagyam Phalgukatyate. That if something that appears to be material can be used in the service of Krishna, to renounce it, to reject it, is incomplete renunciation. Complete or full renunciation means that to utilize everything that the Lord provides in the loving service of the Lord. We find in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they were both disciples of Srila Narada Muni. They were god brothers, Dhruva and Prahlad. Dhruva went to the forest to perform tapasya. There he had the beautiful darshan of Sri Narayan, Prishni Garb. And he became so much attached to Lord Narayan that he didn't care anything for his kingdom, which he was aspiring so much for. When Lord Narayan asked him, "What would you like? I will give you any benediction," he said, "I want nothing. I'm content to be here in the forest, living on leaves. All I want is that I never forget you. Because remembrance of you is the fulfillment of all my desires. It is the nectar of my soul. I have no other wants, no other needs, if I simply remember you." But Narayan, he told him, "But you are supposed to be the king. There is no need for you to give that up. Just my benediction is you be king, but always remember me and rule the world in such a way that everyone remembers me." And Dhruva Maharaj went back and became a great king. Lived in palace, had children, wife, and everything. But utilized everything in the loving service of the Lord, never being attached to false prestige, never letting any situation or aspiration divert his attention away from Krishna consciousness. And Prahlad Maharaj, he was only 5 years old when his father, Hiranyakashipu, was killed by Lord Narahari. Did he want to be the king? He didn't want it. He didn't not want it. Lord Narahari asked him, "I will give you any benediction. What would you like?" Prahlad said, "I have not come to do business with you. I want nothing. I simply want to always remember you and always be the servant of your devotees. Other than that, I want nothing. But if you insist on giving me something, then liberate my father. He's such a sinful demon. Give him liberation." But the Lord Narasimhadev coronated Prahlad as king. And he became such a great king. So Rupa Goswami explains, whether you have everything or whether you have nothing, it doesn't matter. Whatever you have, use it for Krishna. But not using it in remembrance of Krishna. Whatever you have becomes like a rope binding your neck and choking your very soul, suffocating your spirituality by material attachments. But whatever we have, if it is utilized in Krishna consciousness, in reference to love of God, then it becomes complete renunciation. That is fully sannyas, to use everything for Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is explaining here how merciful the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. That he'll do whatever is best for a devotee to advance in spiritual life. Therefore, such a loving Lord is superior to all the demigods, because they will give you so many things that are not good for your spiritual life if you ask for them. But Krishna will do whatever is necessary to bring you closer to his lotus feet. So we are speaking of Bali Maharaj's family. Here we find how Prahlad Maharaj reacted to this situation. Now, I'm sure you are very fascinated by the idea of hearing how Bali Maharaj's wife responded to Bali losing everything and being completely poverty-stricken, having nothing, no one, and just surrendered his head to the lotus feet of Lord Vamana. Badam vikshap. Lament. Lament.
I don't think she would forget. Maybe you would lament, but I don't think she would. Husbands always like whatever shortcomings they have, they want the wife to take the credit. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadeva. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. Her name was Vindhyavali. She was very agitated and afraid, and she wanted to speak. Srimati Vindhyavali said, Oh my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think they can give in charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Haribo Vindhyavali. She was a very good wife. She was really thinking in terms of her husband's welfare. Most women, they are attached for their husband because what material resources the husband can provide for me. But she was actually a loving wife. She was only concerned whatever's good for him. Right now, I have nothing. I don't even know if I have him. I have nothing. He's in prison. He's arrested. But he's getting the special mercy of Krishna. He's going to go back to Godhead. This is the success of our marriage. This is the highest opulence. The opulence of Krishna's mercy. He's receiving it. It is the supreme treasure of wealth. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he explains that Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. If everyone had a wife like this, then we would be in Vaikuntha. There would be no reason to take sannyas. But in Kali Yuga, it's not like that so much. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. She was calling her husband demoniac. Although the demigods who are officials appointed by the Lord for management are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be the proprietors of the universe. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. She was accusing him of being in darkness of ignorance, although he just surrendered everything. Because she was so wise and intelligent, she understood that, my dear Bali Maharaj, you have nothing to surrender. Everything is already Krishna's. Just the fact that you think that you're giving this to Krishna is an illusion. Actually, the body did not belong to him. But because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead by whom the body is given. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddesher junatishtati Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya.
The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. And according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belonged to him? Thus, Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Tyaktva Hriyastvad Avaropti Karatirabhadha, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. So, this, in truth, is the real duty of a wife. It is said that a husband is meant to protect the wife, but the wife is also meant to protect the husband. A good, loving wife, a wife who actually knows what it means to love, she will never be content with her husband if he does anything that's detrimental to his spiritual progress. And she'll see the only real success in his life is how much he's developing love of God. And she'll see the only standard of success in the family is how we're putting our time and energy into making our children Krishna conscious. This is love. In Kali Yuga, people have a misunderstanding of what is love. People are fearful when their husband or their wife or their children are becoming too involved in spiritual life. They become fearful. That means they have no compassion for the soul. They're depriving the soul by their influence. So through this beautiful story of Bali Maharaj being arrested by Lord Vamanadeva, we are learning what is ideal family life. And of course, as God brothers, as God sisters, as fellow human beings who have the same father, Aham Bija Pratapita, in one sense we are all family members. Whether we are brahmacharis, sannyasis, grihastas, vanaprastas, brahmins, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras, we are all in this divine mission of Sri Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada. We are all in this mission together. We are a family under the father of our Guru Maharaj and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And this spirit of family should be not only in the small nucleuses of husband, wife, children. It must be there. But it should also be in the broader spectrum of our family. And the love of this family will be expressed in truth to the degree we are concerned with each other's spiritual welfare. Prahlad Maharaj, the grandfather, as well as Vindhyavali, the wife, they were not ashamed to speak publicly. In the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, their words would be heard by hundreds and billions of living beings for the rest of time to come. They were not afraid to express what they were really feeling. How proud they were that Bali was receiving the mercy of Sri Krishna. How proud they were that he was surrendering his life, his soul, his everything, for Krishna's pleasure. He surrendered all his wealth. He surrendered all of his position, all of his power, all of his followers. He even surrendered his own body. And the grandfather and the wife were so proud. This is the true success of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there any questions?
Sometimes we see that material opulence is taken away from people, but still they do not surrender to the Lord. On the contrary, they struggle with the life and Jupiter that he has struggled so well with his life and all that. Is there something more to
do? You see, for an ordinary person, if he loses everything, it is due to his past karma. Everything you gain and everything you lose is due to your past pious and impious activities. But for a devotee, Daivi he shuguna mai mama maya duratyaya. For a devotee, the Lord personally does whatever is good for him. He's not being influenced by the laws of karma. He's being influenced by the Lord's special mercy. Huh? Therefore, if a materialistic person loses everything, it's not directly the Lord's mercy. It's the Lord's mercy in the sense that the Lord has cast him according to the laws of karma to just accept whatever he has done, the results. So people lose everything because of their past sins. If you act piously, then you have to suffer your sins for so many years and years and years, and eventually your pious credits will come. That's the laws of material nature. Krishna just leaves you to the laws of nature. But you see, Bali Maharaj, what was his special feature? He was dear to Prahlad. Prahlad surrendered everything to the Lord willingly, voluntarily. And anyone who is dear to a devotee of the Lord gets the special mercy of the Lord, even if that person is a rascal. If you are dear to a devotee, you're no longer subjected only to karma. Krishna will personally act. There is a story of in Chaitanya Charitamrita of a devotee named Amoga, who was the son-in-law of Adwaita. And he was such a fault-finding person. There's no greater offense than finding faults in devotees of the Lord. And Amoga, his only business was to find faults with Lord Chaitanya. He would accuse him. Devotees would come, give him nice prasad. He would, oh, look at what a pig you are, eating too much. Call yourself a sannyasi, simply to eat opulent foods. And Adwaita wanted to kill his son-in-law for blaspheming the Lord. And his son-in-law ran away. Not kill, but beat. He didn't want to kill, but he wanted to beat him. He wanted to kill his demoniac mentality. And a few days later, the son-in-law got cholera and was laying in his deathbed. I'm sorry, not Adwaita, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law, not Adwaitacharya. So Sarvabhauma, when he heard it, said, it's good for that rascal for what he's done. But the Lord came right in the room and put his hand on the heart of Amoga and said, you are the son of a Brahmin. A Brahmin's heart is meant to be the residence of Krishna. Why this envy is in your heart? Krishna will not reside in the heart where there's envy. Rise up and chant the holy names. And he got up and started chanting the holy names and was completely purified. Then he realized how merciful the Lord was to him. And he was thinking, why? I've been so blasphemous, so critical, so antagonistic to you. Why did you show your mercy to me? He said, because you're Adwaitacharya's son-in-law. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law. Because he has surrendered to me, anything that has a relationship to him is dear to me. Therefore, I put you in this cholera situation just so that you would ultimately become my pure devotee. So Bali is in a similar situation. Because Prahlad was affectionate toward him, he got the causeless mercy of the Lord. So if you're near and dear to a devotee, Krishna will take personal charge of purifying your life. And he'll give you what you need. But ordinary people,
they are simply being cast this way and that way by the waves of the ocean of karma and the ocean of material existence. Any other questions? There are different moods of devotees. Krishna is in the heart of his pure devotees. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishtati. He is directing them according to where they could best serve. If he didn't go to Vrindavan, we wouldn't be talking about him today. Huh? Krishna wanted his name to be famous. Different devotees he utilizes to show different attributes. Dhruva Maharaj, when he took the kingdom, Maharaj Priyavrat, Maharaj Yudhisthira, they took kingdoms. Krishna wanted to show how these devotees are so exalted that they'll accept everything and use it in God's service. But other devotees, he wants to show another aspect, that they're so humble and so meek, they just want to live a very simple life. They're not attached to any of these positions of glorification. They simply want to humbly serve the Lord and serve his devotees without expecting anything in return. So Krishna utilizes various devotees to show different examples for the betterment of all of us. According to the Shastra, Prahlad Maharaj himself has said that by performance of penance and austerity, by studying the scripture, even by engaging in all sorts of devotional activities, one cannot understand Krishna. One cannot gain the mercy of Krishna. Only by taking the dust of the lotus feet of the great devotees and smearing it upon your body can you truly get the great mercy of Sri Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadam. Krishna's mercy comes through the great devotees of the Lord in this world. Therefore, this is the supreme means of getting the mercy of Krishna. Pariprashnena sevaya, by hearing submissively from the great souls and rendering service to them. Krishna reveals the truth through them. So by somehow or other becoming dear to a devotee is the greatest qualification for Krishna to take interest in showing you his causeless mercy. But Krishna is so grateful to a devotee who surrenders to him that 10 generations, past and future, get liberated, no matter what they do, just because of their connection to that devotee. That is how much Krishna loves the sadhus. When Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish, he went right to Narayan and begged his forgiveness, and Narayan said, I cannot forgive you. Sadhunam hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham maranyathena jananti naham dhebyo namadabhi. So don't you know, Durvasa Muni, that the sadhu, the devotee who has given his life to me, I am always in his heart, and therefore he is always in my heart. He is always remembering me, and therefore I am always remembering my sadhu.
My sadhu has given everything up for me, and therefore I'm willing to give up everything for my devotee. This is the nature of the love between Krishna and his devotee. So if you really want to help your family, your friends, your relatives, your forefathers, your ancestors become Krishna's pure devotee, they will all get his special mercy. And whoever becomes dear to you becomes dear to Krishna, even if that person is a demon. Krishna will purify him some way or other. Yes? And therefore, Krishna, once you become dear to a pure devotee, even if you do all nonsense, Krishna will never leave you alone until you go back to Godhead. If you need to be crushed, he'll crush you. If you need to be uplifted, he'll do whatever is necessary to bring that devotee back.
Regarding this particular statement, if you look up to me, I will look up to you. Doesn't this become one-to-one correspondent relationship? And only if you do this, I will do to you. That kind of relationship. How would you explain this relationship? Isn't it something, only if I do, you do to me? It becomes that sort of a relationship.
Between us and God?
Yeah, that's right.
Krishna's doing everything for you always. Are you breathing now? Where are you getting the breath from? Huh? Are you seeing now? Where are you getting the light to see from? Are you thinking now? Where are you getting the power to think from? You're wearing clothes now? Where do you think this clothes came from? Everything you have, you are getting from Krishna. Krishna is doing everything for everyone at all times. But what are we doing for him? That is the question. He's doing everything for everyone, always. But he reveals the love in your heart, which is the ultimate satisfaction of life, to the extent you're willing to reciprocate with his love. But even if you don't reciprocate with his love, he'll be giving you everything you have for the rest of eternity. That is God's love. Some people, when their children are totally abandoned the father, does the father keep giving to them? But here we find in Krishna, he's giving even the grossest atheists who are blaspheming him in day and night. He's giving them their wealth. He's giving them their cars. He's giving them their family. He's giving them breath. He's giving them food. He's giving them everything. Such a father. But they don't want to love him. So why should he give them the love? Why should he give something so wonderful to someone who doesn't want it? That love of God, he'll only give to someone who wants that love more than anything else of this world. That is the price of Krishna consciousness, that you want that more than anything else. That you're willing to strive to approach Guru Vaishnava, that you're willing to strive on the path of sadhana bhakti in order to cultivate this desire to be the prominent guiding force of your life, the desire to love God. When Krishna sees you're serious in this regard, he reciprocates according to how you approach him. Thank you very much. And one more question.
I want to know whether it was Krishna's mercy or was it his past karma or not?
It was Krishna's mercy. By karma, Krishna doesn't come and take you to a mangal.
flow. It's only by His mercy that He does like that. That beating up was Krishna's divine leela. He was very happy to be beaten up for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, "The inconveniences that I endure on your behalf, Krishna, is my greatest pleasure." So you can imagine how much pleasure he was getting beaten up for Krishna. It's an ecstasy. Ha 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 ha.